Lord dropped a thought in my heart this week that I'd like to share. I'd like to start with a familiar story scripture Jesus tells in the 15th chapter of Luke. We'll lay a little foundation for the thought. Watch sometimes I'll listen to debates and listen to atheist views. And the one thing that sticks out to me in many of them, when they're talking certain ideas about why is there suffering, and that's one of the common questions asked in relationship to whether there's God or not. And the one thing that I feel like that is absent from these people's mind is the actual creation story and the way God established what He had done when He created. He made man and made it in His own image, and He made woman. And it's important, very important, I think, in the conversation to understand that God made people with a will. Nothing else in creation is described the way it is man. That He made man to have a will. Well, sometimes we say free will, but that's really to say it twice, because a will is free. That's what it is. And so He gave mankind the ability. He made him very intelligent. I know there's levels of intelligence, but He made man with the capacity to seek and to understand. And if you look at the world that we live in now and the understanding of mathematical concepts and the world around us and the things that the machinery and the things that we've done, such an intelligence that God gave mankind. But within all of that was the basic premise or creation that He put in there was the fact that we have a will and we can choose to do with the elements around us basically what we want to do with them. God made a beautiful world of plants and others, and some of them will make you high if you smoke them. Now you can have that as a potted plant. Don't know if you all know what marijuana looks like, but it's a beautiful expanding plant, bushes, and it's a beautiful plant. It would be a beautiful plant to have in your garden. You can choose to do that, but you also choose it and get high with it. I mean, you can take a rolling pin and make a pie crust, or you can hit your husband over the head with it. God gave us the ability, the idea of choice in life, and that's a very important element in the discussion is because God wanted to make people to have a choice for a reason. There's a reason for it. Everything else obeys God. The universe obeys God. The planets are in their orbits, doing what God told them to do. Animal life, birds migrate. They do what God told them to do. It rains on the dirt and makes mud just the way God told it to do it. It's God wanted more than that. Can you imagine a relationship that you have only in the elements that you got to do what you're supposed to do? With no choice in it. God wanted, I believe, God made the creation of man, and He demonstrated this by putting him in the garden, and He put in the middle of the garden the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and He put the tree of life there, and He said, of all the trees that you can eat, but of this one, don't eat. And He wanted them, the mind was is that He wanted, He also made it till He had fellowship. So that speaks something. He didn't just leave mankind to a creation story, and then he's removed, and he's never, no. He visited him in the cool evening. He had a relationship. He wanted the relationship. There come down a time that he wanted them to choose the relationship with God. Because they loved the fellowship. They loved what they, and they wanted that. And this is the reason why he created mankind to have a will. And thus there will be, because we have will, we have the ability to do wrong. We can treat our neighbor bad. We can do these. You can use the rolling pin for the wrong reason. You can use the plant for the wrong reason. You can design and make things, some good, some bad. Scripture said about God made everything good, but man made many inventions. Man has learned more through military expansion. And the idea of looking at military, he learned how to fly better planes. They learned how to build planes, military. Jet planes came as a result of World War II, basically, and in the process of trying to outdo and go, and all this, and we can use, well, I don't want to establish that God gave us a will for a reason. It's important to this today. God gave us a will for a reason. So I want to look at this scripture. In the Luke 15 and 11 says, and he said a certain man had two sons. Now, there was two sons involved in this story. This is a learning moment for both sons. And I want to talk about this idea. I want to talk about the idea of obedience and what God really wants of obedience. I remember Linda and I had this conversation. I remember we had it, but I don't remember a lot about what we talked about, but I remember some of it. We had a conversation about one time about what do we expect from our children in obedience. What is the expectation of obedience with our children? Well, we know that's a good thing, and we all want our children to obey. But do we want absolute obedience? Absolute obedience. And my answer to that, if you'll let me explain, was no. I don't want robotic, absolute obedience to my exact words. That's not what I'm trying to do. That's not my desire. That's not what I want to do. And my example was, as I say to one of my sons, yeah, I want you to go out, the lawnmower's run out of gas, I want you to take the 5-gallon can, and I want you to fill it up. But I forget that I put diesel in the can. And I'm going to expect obedience, and my son goes out there, and he knows it's diesel, and he sees it, but Dad said to put it in there. No, I don't want, I'm not trying to create some a robotic do as I say. I'm trying to create a son that loves the cause, the betterment of the family, the betterment of his dad, the betterment of the situation. He's intelligent. He's intelligent enough to spare me if I teach him right. He's intelligent enough to help me if I give him the liberty to it. I really want his heart, don't I? I mean, I really want a maturity and a responsibility and an ability to achieve. I don't want to just say, I say to my son, I want you to go and weed the bank out there. And in the process, there's a car wreck and somebody needing help, but Dad said to weed it. I don't remove myself from this because I'm obedient to Dad. I want a son that can expand beyond that. I want a son to be able to understand and do what I would do. And know that there's things, and teach him that there's things that are more important than what I just said. I wouldn't look at that as disobedience because there's underlying understandings that we can have if you understand what I'm saying. I don't want an absolute obedience. I want a heart. Son, I want your heart for your dad. I want your heart towards the family. If you look and see, sometimes it's not I'm not talking about my opinion over theirs. I'm talking about you're an intelligent person. You ought to know not to put diesel in there. Don't run off of diesel. Yeah, I said it wrong. It was the wrong can. Spare me. Help me in this. I don't want that. Do you know God made a way of commandments one time. And he said, do these commandments. He's obligated to do these commandments. He didn't say anything about how he felt about it or what else was involved in it. Just do the commandment. Just do it. But it really didn't work very well. Because there was other things involved. So here's a story. A man has two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided to them his living. Okay? Why did he do that? Was his father not wise enough to know that this young man was headed for trouble? Could he not have exerted his authority and said, son, you're not spending that money on riotous living. I'll give you a portion, I'll give you an allowance. As long as you stay within a parameters here, you're not to go beyond this. If you do, you're cut off. You don't get any more money. You don't do any of that. You know, I can exhort some authority that I have to things. I can exhort that and say, you're not going to get this. You're not going to do that. Or you're out of the inheritance. People do that all the time. Is that really what we want? Is that really what God really wanted? God wanted, doesn't God want more than to just say, don't do this, and you don't do it? I really want to do it. Oh, I really want to do it. But I know I can't do it. But I really want to. God wants something more than us just to say that. And he says that is, so he split God, in this illustration, he gave it to them. There's a teaching moment for a couple sons here. A man had a couple sons, and neither one of them really was what the father wanted them to be. They needed these moments, and so he gives them. We know this story. He gives them their living, and the young one was chomping at the bit. The father knew he was chomping at the bit. How am I going to correct this? What am I going to do to correct this? I'll put the hammer down on him. And if I'm strong enough and do it right, I can force him in his lifetime to act the way he should act. You know, God is interested in more than us just having an act that we act. He wants something more than that out of us. He wants an obedience for sure, but he wants an obedience from the heart. You remember when I think it was Peter, and Peter was taught a certain way all of his life. And now things are changing for Peter, and now this vision of this sheet comes down. You remember that? And there's these unclean, what was considered unclean, and it was this sheet come down, and the voice says to Peter, rise, Peter, and eat. I have no way. No, I am an obedient. I am stuck to a ritual. I'm stuck to a thing that I can't even be moved outside of that through a vision, through this. And the Lord had to really deal with Peter because he was stuck in this idea of what it meant to be obedient and what meant to be that. And so he was going to do it down to the letter. And the Lord wanted more than the letter. Peter, I want you to be able to listen to me. I want you to be able to understand deeper matters. I want you to be pliable and teachable about these things. More than just a rigid, I'm going to do it attitude. We know the story. The young man takes his stuff and he's ready to go. And he goes into a far country and he's got plenty of money in his pocket. And he's living high and no doubt he's going to have the time of his life down there. Oh, he was disobedient, for sure. That's not what his dad wanted him to do. That's not what the father wanted him to do at all. He didn't want to come to that at all. And so after a while, he runs out. Famine hits and he runs out. And then he starts getting into the place that the father really wanted him to be in. He compared the two worlds. He saw where he was at. He saw what he had had. He had come to this place. He had lost a lot. And he comes to a place to where he says, my father's servants have more than enough to eat, and here I am starving to death. Now I'm going to go home and say to my father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Now the father is going to get the reality of what he's going to get a son now. He's going to get his son come back because there's more than just, I'm going to do this. Do you know that there's a possibility that a son can stay there and be miserable all of his life and never really have an appreciation and do what he's told to do and never really have a reality of what God really wanted him to do, what his father wanted him to do? So he goes and he has this experience and he comes back. The Lord wants more out of us than I will just do this work down to this. This says this and I'll do it and not really have a heart for it. God wants to work with us and deal with us until we really have a heart that this is the best thing that I can do. Jesus actually dealt with these things that people looked at it because they was in this shell. They said, he's eating with sinners. he's doing it all wrong. They didn't wash their hands. And he healed on a Sabbath day. And he did all of these things. And that's all wrong. He's disobedient. It's all wrong. All of it's wrong. Jesus wasn't being disobedient. He was doing it for the better cause, the bigger cause. So in this story, the young man comes and he says that he says in the 17th verse, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth his best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard the music and the dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry. This is the obedient one. This is the one that done it right. He didn't take off and do those things. He was the one that went to church with his hands folded. He's the one that had his Bible tucked under his arm. He's the one that the society around and the people around would say, that's an awful nice fella there. That's a good fella there. That guy's really got it all together. But he needed a teaching moment too, because it's not just all about the duties. It's not all about just following or some kind of a thing. It's about having a heart. It's about having a heart for it. And this was his brother. I wonder if they ever played Tonka trucks together. Well, I guess in that day they would have. Maybe stick trucks together. I wonder if it was his brother. I wonder if they'd ever wrestled together. Y'all ever know two brothers that never wrestled at all? You and Jamie ever wrestled, Pete? Me and my brother wrestled and fought around all the time. I mean, the things and the memories I have of my brother, this was his brother. No doubt he was hurt, probably. No doubt he thought his brother went wild, and no doubt there was animosity there, and no doubt he brought a black mark to his family. Maybe he was embarrassed when somebody said, hey, where's your little brother Joe at? Maybe he brought all those things. But here is his moment. Now they come home and they're going to throw this party home instead of him Wouldn't it have been better if the story would have been that he threw down his stuff and it was a run to embracing my brother's home? My brother. It said he was angry. All of the things that you've been doing, where was your heart while you was doing them? All the obedience that you did, how did you do it? He was angry and would not go in. Okay. Well, his dad didn't tell him he had to. Here we go. I can still be obedient in this. He would not go in to the festive time. He would not go in and face this. He was angry. He was angry because it seems like there's a hero welcome here. He don't deserve that. All of these kind of things was in there. Now, Lord, help us. What is this all about? Is this all about me? Is that what I got to try to make this all about me? And if I'm not looked at right, spoke about right, if it's got to be all about me. If I'm not comfortable in doing it, I won't do it. Is it all about me? This is not supposed to be about me. This is about souls. This is about eternity. This is about the cause of God in people's lives. Here was a young man that God allowed the circumstances to work to his eternal benefit. Yes, he wasn't obedient. He run off and done those things. But through that process, he found something greater. Do you know he still didn't have his money? This older one still had his money. The younger one still didn't have his money. Still spent it all. But he allowed this to make him bitter and angry and resentful. And he would not go in. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou neither gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. I was obedient to the letter. I was so obedient that I even put diesel in your lawnmower because you told me to do it. I was so obedient that I done exactly what you told me to do, and I just went on doing it. When you told me to apologize for kicking Granny in the shins, I apologized. I wasn't sorry, but I apologized. I done what I'm supposed to do. You know that the things that the Lord tells us to do, He isn't telling us to do it just because I have a commandment. It's supposed to teach us something. It's supposed to say, this is what I'm wanting from you to do. I'm not just giving you an instruction so you'll be some kind of robotic. I want you to feel this and understand this and be a true child of God. Not just going down the pathway of this. All this time, you never gave me a kid to make merry or do that. And now this wayward fella comes back. That's your brother. All of the things that I taught you to do, when I told you when you was young to hug your brother and apologize for hitting him, do you think that that's all I wanted? Was I not trying to teach you that there's something better? I want to teach you that this is the way to feel. You're supposed to feel this way, not just do a duty. But as soon as thy son was come, which has devoured his living with the harlots, and thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Well, that just don't seem fair. It don't seem fair to pay a guy a penny that's only worked an hour. This don't seem fair. This isn't right. This isn't right that you made a calf for him. You should have put him on a whooping block. you should put him in the servants and prove to him how, I think we need blood. You ever get in that thing? I mean, apology's not good enough. I want blood on this one. You're going to have to bleed. He said it to his son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. All the fatted calves are yours, son. What don't you have? It's all yours. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. There was something that he wanted to get to his son. Your brother ran off and did these bad things, and you stayed here in your heart. You ran off and did them. That's why you're feeling the way you are. God wants more than us just not to do it. There's a scripture I want to look at. It comes to my attention. I thought about some of the writings of kind of put a new light. This idea kind of put a new light on some of the things that Jesus said. In the on the Sermon on the Mount, the 5th chapter of Matthew, 38th verse, it says, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him also the other. Now, that's a direct command that we can understand. There's not a lot of ambiguity in this that you can say, what's he talking about? As it physically goes, that we understand that. But does the Lord really want us to say, okay, the Lord told me that somebody smites me on the cheek, that I should turn the other, wishing that I could bust his nose. And if I ever get a chance to, in some legal way, to take advantage of, I'll do it. Is the command really that? You know what the idea of this really is? The idea of this really is that somebody smacks you, slaps you on the cheek, you're going to have two sides to your face. One of them is going to be hot and angry and stinging and resentful and wants to get even. And the Lord says, don't turn that towards your action. Don't respond to this side. You just got smacked and you're going to feel all the feelings of what the hurt. You're going to feel the revenge. You're going to feel the hotness, the heat of the moment. You're going to feel all of that. Folks, what the Lord was saying did not just pertain to somebody slapping. And to be obedient, if somebody slaps my cheek, I turn to him the other, but if he punches me, I can punch back. I'm only literally keeping commandments here. I'm only a command. No, the Lord was saying something much more than that. A deeper idea. Don't turn your hot, angry side towards this incident. When somebody says something to you that hurts you and harms you, don't turn that ugly side. Don't allow that side to be turned. Turn your other side towards it. Turn the loving, meek side towards it. Turn the caring side to it. Don't respond with that action, is what the Lord's trying to say to us. If somebody sues you, they're trying to take something from you, don't try to take something back from them. This is what the Lord's trying to say. I'm giving you something deeper. I'm interested in more in your life and your relationship and who you are. Jesus, God made us originally with a will, and that's what he's dealing with. He's not just dealing with commandments. He's dealing with the will. He wants us to say, not my will in this, but thy will be done. Help me to say, yes, these elements can be used for anything. As they say, the fire that warms you can burn you, and the water that that sustains you can drown you. There's choices all the way across life here, and the Lord wants us to take those and make them a part of our worshiping and living for God. Our will in this matter is, I'm not going to take the approach that I'm going, because God gave me strength and the ability and all that, I'm not going to take my elements and destroy another human being with it. I'm not going to take the strength and everything God gave me with and hate another individual with it. No matter what they do, I'm not going to look at my brother. I'm not going to look at him with a destroying attitude like this brother did. I'm going to look at my brother the way God really wants me to look at my brother. I don't have to have a handful of exact commandments. You ever hear somebody say, well, if it ain't black and white in the Bible? I say that's a mistake. I like black and white in the Bible. I like to get the understandings of it. But God dealt in principles a lot of time. If somebody smites thee on the cheek, resist not evil with evil. Don't turn that hot, flared up red side towards that circumstances. Turn the other side to it. Deal with it. Deal with it from the other directive. So, the Lord didn't want Peter. He wanted him to be pliable. He brings down this sheet, and this was representing, it wasn't just the eating of this stuff, it was representing, Peter, the time of the Gentiles' introduction into the gospel is here. And you're going to have to accept this. And Peter's idea was, I will not be taught. I'm obedient. I'm obedient. Rather than saying, Lord, help me to have the heart for it. I would say that the Lord would rather us have the heart for it and he can deal with it than to have the direct obedience to it. If you got the heart, you got the obedience for it. He wants us to deal with life through our hearts. And it goes for everything we do in this. It's all a heart matter. There's no strong arming. I think there's been some guilty, has been guilty of it, that says the cause of God is so important to me that I'm going to strong arm it to make it go forward. I'm going to strong arm it to make sure everybody does it right. And those kind of stuff. Folks, there's no strong arming the gospel. The gospel will never work without the heart to be able to want to live for God and give it what it is. And we can strong arm it and say, you can't be a part of us. You ain't going to be a part of my family if you do X and X and X. Or you can't be a part of this congregation if you do da, 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 da. You can't be none of that. There's no strong arming here. This is a heart matter. It's all the gospel is. It's a heart matter. We want to teach and find out, what does the Lord really want me to do? Yeah, I can turn the other cheek and go to the house and pout and bawl and wish I could smack you in the face. No, that's not what the Lord wants. The Lord wants you to deal with the reality of this. Why do you feel the way you do? This older brother, he had a feeling. He felt the way he did. Why are you feeling this way? Anytime I ever got to a place like that, I felt like the Lord was very quick to remind me of the sinner that I was and the time that I had to come to the Lord like the young man did and say, Father, forgive me. I've sinned against you and against heaven. I've been a sinner. I've done it. And God had mercy on me. Then I extend that to you. In any situation, I extend that to you. You will not hurt me by your disobedience to the Lord. It doesn't hurt me. It doesn't hurt my cause. I have no cause. If God's willing to have mercy on you, then I should too. The father could have said to this young man, you're not getting your money. I know what you're going to do. So I'm going to put restrictions on you. I'll give you an allowance till you're a certain age. Then after you're married and settled down and you got a certain age, you can do this. And then you can get your money only if you do certain things with it. I've seen that happen. For a person to do their will. But that's not what the Lord wanted. The Lord said, I made you with a will. Here's your money. You can do what you want to with your money. Here's your life. Here's the talents that I've naturally made you with. I gave you gifts. I made you a person, individual, that got certain potentials in your life. You can do whatever you want to with them. You can take your special musical talents and go to Nashville if you want to. You can take your gifts of things and you can go try to make $1 million in the stock market. You can take your gifts and try to do whatever you want to do with them, but I want your heart. Because if I get your heart, you'll sing to my glory. And you'll use your money for my glory. And you'll use your time for my glory. I want your heart. And just in closing, I remember reading the story. I've mentioned it many times here, but it was so impressive to me. This guy that was, I think if I remember right, he was 35 years old, and he had been an extremely successful businessman. And he was on his deathbed, and this was back in the 18s somewhere, and he, best I remember, he was in England, and he was on his deathbed, and his contemporaries came around, the people that knew him, his business partners and all those, they came around, and they was there looking down on him, and he looks at them and said, I know what you're all thinking. You're thinking, what a pity for a man to be so successful and leave this life at 35 years old. And you're saying, thinking, what a business, what a potential there's going to be lost. He said, but I ain't thinking that about the next business deal that I could make or anything like that. He said, I'd give half of all, he was a very wealthy man. And I don't know why he said it this way, but this is the way he said it. I'd give half of all that I ever made to just have a 1 year to serve God with a full intention. He said, because you see, I went to church on Sundays. I paid my tithes. I tried to be a good person, but I never had an intention of serving the Lord like I should have. And I'd give all of this if I could have 1 year to serve God with a full intention. What he was saying was that you can't fault me. Your eyes couldn't see a fault in me. I lived to the duties that was expected of me. You saw all those duties in here. I loved money more than God. In here, I had more mind towards business and what I was than I ever did for God. I never served God with a full intention. I never really did. And I would give all of this if I could get 1 year before I leave out of here to prove to God that I mean this, because I never had mean it. Last words he ever said was those, and he went out into eternity. You could say in a lot of ways the man was obedient. He was obedient to the things that nominal Christianity called for. He went to service. He paid his money. He done the things he did do. Maybe even give his alms and done the things that he did. He shared around. But he never had a heart for it. God wants us to have a heart for it. And if you read the rest of the scripture here in Matthew, any man sue thee, take away thy coat. Let him have your cloak on. If you look at all of that, you'll find within that a whole lot more meaning that's defined by our heart's action. And not just, well, the Lord said for me to give my coat, so I'm going to give him my coat, but I sure hate to. He don't deserve it. That's not what God was trying to tell us there. He was trying to say, have sympathy. Be compassionate. Have a heart. I was stripped naked for you. I died on a cross for you. The pain that I have, I've done it for you. Have compassion. Have a heart. And that's what God is really wanting. I'll say, I never wanted my children to have an absolute. I did want them to learn to love us and obey us from that point of view, and to be able to use their mind to say this would be better. Because if I say an exact thing, go out and weed the bank, They go eat at the bank, but they don't go along the flyer. But you didn't say that. I would rather them just say, this needs done. This is pleasing. This is beneficial to us all. This is pleasing to Dad. I don't have to. All I got to do is say, would you weed eat and expect it to be done? Isn't that the way you would rather approach this? And I slipped up and I didn't say weed eat around the flower bed. I should have said that. It was my fault. It's my fault. That's not God is saying. You let that one walk right by you because I didn't interrupt you down the road with a toothache to tell you you should talk to this person. Here they are. Have a heart. Have a heart to reach out. Here's somebody that's in desperate need. Well, the Lord didn't tell me nothing. I already did by trying to create a heart in you that you can live for God. So our striving, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. They're to be kept from love, out of love. But they're not always definable. But when you put the element that I love the Lord in there, it'll work. It'll work wherever it needs to work. So it's not just the commandment, but Lord, give us the heart to be able to serve the Lord. You pray for me.